This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, what are the Texans getting back in Denico Autry? This is what Nick Caserio told us about Denico Autry before the season started. We had Nick on yesterday, and we'll have some audio from yesterday's conversation with the Texans GM a little later on in the show. But this was, to me, this was one of Nick Caserio's finer moments on this show back before the season started when he was asked about defensive end Denico Autry.
Specific to Denico, I mean, this guy's a badass. I mean, this guy's a junkyard dog. Like, if you're going to a dark alley, like, you want this guy behind you. Like, this is a bad MF-er. I mean, and a really good football player who cares about football. And we've had a play against him over the last couple of years and, you know, Tennessee, and then he was in Indianapolis. But, you know, glad he's on our side. And, you know, we're excited about what potentially he could bring.
All right, so that was before the season. So now Denico Autry has been through a six-game suspension for PEDs.
Yeah.
He's coming back. He's going to be fresh. Sounds like he's in shape.
I want him with me in a dark alley, but not necessarily in a compounding pharmacy.
Right.
Yes. He was worked over by those compounding pharmacy thugs, according to his belief is that he was given something from a compounding pharmacy that he wasn't supposed to be given.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. So that's what we were told we're getting in the preseason, and I believe it. What are we getting now? This is D'Amico Ryans yesterday. Is Denico Autry ready to go?
Autry, he's ready to go. He's been doing a lot of work. And while people weren't watching him, while he wasn't here, he put a lot of work in. And that's the biggest thing. And that's a credit to all our guys. And I really, you know, with our sports performance group and the way they work with our guys when they're not here, like, it just shows how Dylan came back. Dylan was ready to go. Damian steps back in. Joe steps back in. Like, that's a credit to not just the football side, but our sports performance side, our training room, and how they have our guys prepared. When they do get back, they're back and they're ready to be effective for us.
I was asked in the mailbag episode for the Hutopia podcast this week, Seth, how do you think Denico Autry gets reincorporated and reintroduced into the lineup here? And my answer, and I'm curious if you agree with me, my answer to the emailer was, I think he gets plugged in on, you know, on first and second down, or in terms of the conventional defensive end rotation. Yeah. I think he gets plugged in probably where Jerry Hughes was before. You know, maybe with a few extra snaps, like alongside Derek Barnett, that when they're giving Danielle Hunter and Will Anderson a blow, giving them some rest, that's your backup defensive ends. And then on third down, he's going to be one of your inside guys on passing situations.
Yeah, and I think it's easy with defensive linemen because you rotate them so much that you can go in a few snaps at a time. You don't have to worry about the football conditioning as much.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you're going to see him mixed into the rotation, and the big question will just be, okay, if he gets 20, 30 snaps, yeah, does he show up? And the cool thing about Denico Autry is he can play all over the defensive line, especially on passing downs. But as defensive ends go, he's stout when he moves down and plays defensive tackle. Like, he's kind of like Charles Omenihu plus, that he can go down and he can hold up versus the run. It's not where you want him all the time. Where you really hope he shows up is in the pass rush part of it. And one thing that he does really well for a guy his size is he moves well in space. He's got an ability to kind of corral quarterbacks, get his hands in the passing lane to make him pull the ball down. And a lot of what we've seen out of some of the more mobile and athletic quarterbacks where the Texans have done a good job flushing them but had a hard time getting them on the ground, DeNico Autry might be huge in that regard. Whether he's rushing from defensive end or defensive tackle, that's where I'm excited to see him operate. Because they flush these guys a lot.
Yeah.
It's just it's a matter of, yeah, it's hard to chase these guys down. There's not – damn it, where are the slow NFL quarterbacks, Sean?
I know. They don't exist. I don't know.
Joe Flacco is the next best opportunity. Joe Flacco. He's playing next time they see the Colts.
Yep. That would be next week.
What?
Yeah, they play the Colts next week. It feels like with Autry, with me, especially when they bump him inside, like the defensive tackles on this team have had a disproportionate amount of sacks this year so far through six games. Like they've brought the quarterback to the ground. It feels like to me, tell me if I'm wrong, that a lot of the production that the defensive tackles are getting in the pass rush are cleaning up things that are being caused by Will Anderson and Danielle Hunter, maybe. They're applying the pressure, and good on Mario Edwards and Foley Fatakasi and company that they're bringing these guys down. It feels like DeNico can cause more havoc on his own than maybe those guys can.
Yeah. You know what? If I had defended myself more thoroughly against Nick Casario yesterday when he gave me that drive-by,
about my pass rushing ability.
Yeah, that's look. I had very good seats to watch a lot of great pass rushers work. I myself was not a pass rusher.
Mm-hmm.
It was a different time. There was a place for people like me back then. But one thing as a defensive tackle that you got to get really good at when you have a defensive end who's an awesome pass rusher is just kind of like letting him do his thing. And then you pick up the strays. So when you're rushing at defensive tackle and you've got a really good defensive end, if that guy takes an inside move, then you anticipate the quarterback getting flushed outside. So you replace wherever that defensive end vacated. And the Texans have done a pretty good job of that with their defensive tackles. It's just that there's times where they're not athletic enough to get there.
Mm-hmm.
They're doing the right thing, but it's Josh freaking Allen.
Yeah.
So it ends up being Fatakasi or Mario Edwards kind of chasing the guy to the sideline. This is where I get excited about DeNico. And he's a defensive end, but on this team with this squad, when he's playing defensive tackle and you get either Will Anderson or Danielle Hunter take an inside move and flush, DeNico's got an ability to hoover them up.
Yeah, that's nice. I like that. Will Anderson has clearly started to forge a relationship with DeNico Autry. This is one of the funnier cuts. He was asked about DeNico Autry yesterday, Will Anderson. Here's what he had to say.
Country. Man, he's great, man. Like, I think out of everybody in the D-Law role, for real, like, I really look at him as a big brother. Like, I think we just have that relationship now. Like, he was quiet when he first got here, like, mean mug, everything. But, like, the more I started picking on, messing with him, he opened up a little bit, man. But it's great having him here, man. Like, I told him I was watching his highlights because I think he celebrated until I watched his highlights. And I seen him jumping up and down, and it got me ready to play with him, man. But he's going to bring something different. Like, just his physical playing style, his relentless effort to get to the quarterback, even on the edge inside. Teams have to account for him everywhere, and it's going to give us a really good changeup when he gets back.
If you're wondering what it was Will Anderson said, Ben, play the beginning of that again.
Country.
Yeah, he's going country. Yeah. And DeNico Autry, if you go to his Wikipedia page, Albemarle, North Carolina, East Mississippi Community College, finished up at Mississippi State, undrafted out of Mississippi State. Man, this is a success story right here, DeNico Autry.
I like DeNico, too, because the Texans have a boatload of good press conference guys right now and good interviews. DeNico's very old school in that he's going to give you like a 10-word response. Congenially and politely, but like he's got no interest in being famous, I don't think.
Yeah.
He's not, you know, I don't think he's pushing his Instagram or anything. He's just wants to play football.
He should be glad he's on this version of the Texans and not the one from 3 years ago. They'd have been pushing him. He'd have been the best player on the 2021 team. They'd have put him out there every week.
Oh, I know. Yeah. He like would have had to be out there doing all kinds of stuff.
Like Justin Britt press conference every week.
Poor DeNico. He's a, this is the best. This is the best setting for DeNico.
You
can still play football. Yeah,
it's good.
DeNico, there have been a lot of exchanges in the locker room where Will is like, you know, being himself, like all energetic and everything, and he'll say something about Denico Autry, and Denico's just kind of like, yeah, okay, all right, young fella. It's like, you can just imagine like an old, like two dogs on a porch, one a puppy and one just the old dog that's laying there and just,
oh yeah,
patient and putting up with the puppy's shenanigans, you know. Puppy's trying to play with him and he just kind of like swats him away.
Spike, yeah. Hey Spike, are we gonna go chase cars?
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. You're right.
You're gonna go chase mailmen? Let's go chase mailmen. Let's go pee on that fire hydrant. What do you say, Spike?
So Denico is Spike.
Yeah. It's great. Jordan Love.
Spike the big bulldog?
Yes.
Or the,
okay. Yeah, I forget what the puppy's name. You and I are thinking of the exact same cartoon.
I wasn't thinking of that until you brought it up. Yeah, that was a good
40
good
years
show.
Ago. Thank you.
Back when they weren't afraid of violence in cartoons for children.
Or edgy characters.
Back when cartoon characters used to blow each other's heads off.
Foghorn.
That's America I want to live in.
Foghorn Leghorn wouldn't stand today. Will Anderson. Here's some more Will Anderson. Let's circle over to the Packers here and Jordan Love, the quarterback that Denico Autry will be chasing this weekend, and Will Anderson for that matter. Here's Will Anderson, his scouting report on Jordan Love.
He's really good with his feet. He can escape the pocket, man. He can roll out. He sets very deep, man. And he's a playmaker. He's one of the best quarterbacks we're going to see this year. We just have to do a really good job of doing us, executing and having fun up front, man, and just balling out and making sure that we're on the details of our job.
Okay. This is a good team, man. I watched Nick's breakdown of the Packers on his Texans All Access appearance each week, where he gives a thorough breakdown of it. The things D'Amico's talked about, some of the, you know, just the previews of this game I've been watching. This is a really, with Jordan Love now healthy, this is a really complete football team.
They are, and look, Jordan Love is a good quarterback. I think it's not like he had a rookie year last year or anything. I feel like he's treated like a rookie in a lot of regards because people wanted him to get the same credit CJ was getting. Where, like, we've seen this before already. You got to sit behind a really good quarterback for multiple years and learn the scheme and this offense, and you're doing good stuff, but it's not quite as impressive as a rookie doing it. But now, all things being back to equal, where CJ is a veteran and Jordan Love is a veteran, they're gonna be compared with each other. That's gonna be one of the big storylines on Sunday in the pregame, I'm sure. But the biggest thing is that Jordan Love is a good quarterback running a good system with good talent on that team. And the explosive plays, the big plays, Green Bay's ability to set up the play action, all of that stuff is very much a threat. And I think the discipline of the defense is the biggest thing I'm worried about this week. Just some of the mental errors by young guys in the secondary, the backup linebackers potentially playing, all of that. It lends to a potential for explosive plays by the Packers.
Yeah. How do you think the Texans run the football against this team this week?
This is the Packers are not an astoundingly good rushing defense, but they're probably the best run defense that the Texans have seen with Joe Mixon for a full game.
Yeah.
So far, the two teams that the Texans have run really well against are the Colts in the Patriots.
Okay.
And neither of those teams, the Patriots have a better run defense than I think maybe the overall stats show, because they've been put in a lot of bad positions. Like they entered that game last week 7th in yards per attempt against the run on defense. And the Texans had a really good day in terms of their explosive runs, but on a down by down basis, they were not really moving the ball the way you want them to. It just they took a step forward just by having the explosive ability of Joe Mixon and Damian Pierce. This week, I want to see them more consistently get 4 and 5 yards instead of stuffed.
Yeah.
57-yard run, stuffed. 54-yard run.
Yeah. When you take the two big runs out, they weren't even at 3 yards a carry. And I know people defending the Texans in this argument will be like, well, but you got to count those big runs. And you do, and those runs matter, and they did matter in the game. Now, the big Mixon run turned into an interception for C.J. Stroud. That's not Mixon's fault. Mixon put them in position to score points, and C.J. turned the ball over. The long Damian Pierce run turned into an actual touchdown. The problem with the big plays inflating the yards per carry is that in the fourth quarter, if you're winning this game, you want 5 yards, 6 yards, four yards, and they're not capable right now of, at least the evidence would tell us, lately, other than the Colts game, they're not capable of lining up in a four-minute offense and busting a good defense in the mouth.
Right, and running right, the football. Right.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
And a lot of that comes back to the offensive line where they've shown improvement, but it's just they're not at the level they need to be yet. You don't have to be an O-line expert or anything like that. If you just go watch some of the teams that do it really well and then watch the Texans offensive line, you can tell that they're just not moving in unison and executing the way that some of the other really good teams are. And they've improved though. So there's still time to build on this. The biggest difference with having Joe Mixon and then Damian Pierce, who, look, Damian still needs to clean some things up too in terms of some of his reads, but he also had some really good examples of reads on zone runs that I don't think he would have had last year. Yeah. So I'm very encouraged by Damian Pierce. The biggest thing is that, yeah, when you've got those two guys in there, they've got that ability to overcome some of the bad blocking. And yeah, they've got the ability to have those explosive plays in a way that Agumba Wale and Cam Akers didn't have. So it's like my father-in-law, Sean, is an incredible shot. He's a marksman.
Oh, like a hunter?
He is ridiculously a good shot.
Okay.
Whereas I am not. Kind of embarrassing. In the group of manly men that are my in-laws, you know, they're all just like, they all know how to do stuff. They fix machinery. They're all like incredible like marksmen, hand-eye coordination type things. So if I go out there and I try to have a shooting competition with my father-in-law, he's going to kill me. But if he has a 12 gauge and I get like outfitted with a sniper rifle or something, then I might have a chance.
Yeah.
The Texans offense right now with Cam Akers, they were Seth Payne shooting with a 12 gauge.
Okay.
With Joe Mixon,
yeah,
they're like my father-in-law with a sniper rifle.
Okay.
It's just the running back/rifle makes a big difference.
That analogy speaks to me.
Does it?
Yeah, big time, because my first marriage, I was married, my ex-wife is from Cajun, Louisiana.
Yeah.
She has brothers and brothers, I had brothers-in-law, all big outdoorsmen. Like, I was, like, the at Thanksgiving, when there's 50 people in the house, I'm literally, like, the only male there that doesn't regularly shoot guns. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so the few times that I went out with them on a boat, they're like, we're going dove hunting. I'm like, why would you hunt little doves? They're just so... What did they ever do to you?
The symbol of peace?
Yeah.
You guys even know that?
Yeah, yeah. So I went a couple times, and I'm like, this ain't for me. So my mother-in-law got me the Sunday ticket. And she's like, you do what you do. Watch your football games. They're going to go hunt. So, yeah. So anyways, the analogy speaks to me. And I'm empathetic for you, somebody who's horrible at shooting guns in a family where people are really good at it.
Right. But it doesn't come up that often.
Yeah.
I don't know. The biggest thing is that I get a lot of credit for when I do something that's actual functional. I'll fix something, or I'll help my father-in-law with his weed whacker or something. He's like, oh, yeah, I forgot you actually can do some stuff.
Weed whacker?
Yeah.
Isn't that like...
That's what he'll say to me. Like, I forgot you're not completely useless.
I feel like the weed whacker is the task that's like at the bottom of your father-in-law's list. Like, okay, I know Seth can at least handle this. Because I know, doesn't your father-in-law like grind his own deer meat and do his own taxidermy and stuff like that?
No, he's a deer processor.
Yeah.
So, yeah, during hunting season, he butchers deer. And he does maple syrup. He sold all his dairy cows a long time ago, but he's still like living off the land. Yeah, he still cuts his own firewood and everything. Like, cuts down trees and cuts his own firewood. I help out with that too. Brandy more so. Brandy helps out a lot more with that. I can't do most of it because of my hernia. At any given time, I've got a hernia. So.
You're the rare NFL player, like the rare physical NFL player. You played a physical position that's less manly than your father-in-law
and my wife. Yeah. No, a lot of times, like Brandy and Fred will be out there cutting wood, and I'm just kind of I'll pull up a chair and just supervise. I'm not going to get anywhere close next to that wood splitter. Sean, do you see these wood splitters? You lose a finger right quick. These hydraulic wood splitters? Hell no.
I see none of this. Seth, I just told you 2 minutes ago. You think I'm thumbing through a wood splitter catalog on the regular? Oh, my God. That is funny. That is funny. Pain and pain.
Every now and then he lets me use his chainsaw. He's very particular about his chainsaw.
Is he?
Yeah. Oh God. Yeah.
Yeah. That's like the golf clubs. Like, no, you're not using my driver.
Either that, or he just knows that there's a good chance I'll die. So he's like, I don't know if he's just particular about the chainsaw. He's just like, no, don't
minimum lose some
thing.
Body part. Right. Right. Yeah. Are you worried about the turnovers in this game? CJ admittedly has been a little sloppy with the football this year, and the Packers have capitalized on a lot of sloppy people so far.
I think, yeah, Xavier McKinney has 5 interceptions already. Jair Alexander has a couple.
Yeah.
And, I think that I am nervous about it. I mean, just by way of illustration, the Packers defense has been incredibly opportunistic. Just one out of every four drives against the Packers defense ends in a turnover. They are turning the ball over one every four drives. So this is they can't keep that up for the entire season, but they're very capable of doing it, and you've seen examples of it. So yes, this where CJ I think this year is trying to find that envelope of the appropriate risk level that you got to take your chances. You got to find, you know, you gotta try to keep pushing the ball downfield, but teams are just sitting back and trying to create traps and opportunities for it. You just gotta find that balance, and you're doing it on the road. Luckily, it'll only be 75 degrees, so no inclement weather that it might work out to the Packers'
advantage.
That would
kind of bum me out if I were a player, man. If I go to Lambeau, I don't want like December weather, but I, you know, like a nice little crisp breeze, a little bit of fall in the air would have been nice, huh?
The last time the Texans were up there, wasn't it a gentle snow?
It was in the second half of the season for sure. It was a December game. It was cold. It might have been a gentle snow. When Amy and I went there in 2021 for the Texans bye week, mm-hmm. It was a gentle snow and it was awesome. The tailgating was great.
That was the one I was thinking of.
Yeah, okay. It was a gentle snow against Seattle. It was okay. Seth, there's two hilarious texts. Is your father-in-law Chuck Norris?
Basically, he kind he of is. Yeah, he was rural. One of those guys. He's a smaller guy, but was feared by everybody.
Yeah,
yeah. He was like, he's that guy. He's that guy. Is like, oh, listen, tough guy. Listen, don't go messing around. Don't go try to swing your weight around Fred. He will.
His name's Fred.
Yeah, no,
it's kind of a tough guy name too.
He's like the sweetest older guy now, but he was like back in his day, he was terrifying.
Yeah,
and I'm still kind of scared of him. Yeah.
This one I read while you were talking about the Packers, and I was doing my best not to laugh because I didn't want to. You were sharing a really good thought about the game. I'm biting my lip. Seth yells to everybody outside as they're cutting wood, "Hey guys, the quiche is ready."
Come on, my oven mitts.
Apron and oven mitts, sliding the window open. Guys!
Oh, that's 100% what it was. Yeah. When we had because my brother-in-law is a mason, and we had him come down to do our drive. When we lived in Florida, we had him come down. It was kind of like a working vacation for him. We had him come down to do a paver driveway for us and everything. That's exactly what it was like. Cause they were doing it in like July. I'm like, nope, there's no way in hell I'm helping out. I'll be a gopher for you guys. I'll go to the hardware store and stuff.
Yes, yeah.
This is when I was a player, you know, I can't risk injury, Sean. Risk injury.
You had a good excuse.
I'd get him donuts and coffee and stuff, and I might pick up something from the supplier, but yeah.
Yeah, I had no excuse like you. Like a football player, that's a legit excuse. What was I going to say? Like, sorry, I can't sell phone systems if I go out there and hurt myself.
Got to protect the fingers. Yeah, my dialing fingers.
My dialing fingers for cold calling. Absolutely. Who wants lemonade? Someone just said. Oh my God.
Oh, you don't even want to see me try to keep up with them on snowmobiles too. My brother-in-law, the
snowmobile
mason.
Also.
Oh, he gets like a new snowmobile every year.
That's a lot of pressure for you, man.
They're crazy, like they're these crazy snowmobiles that go I'm pretty sure they go like 390 miles per hour. Then it's terrifying, Sean. It's absolutely terrifying. You're going through the woods. I don't know the trails the way these guys do.
Oh, dude.
Guys, hold on. Every couple miles, I gotta stop and wait for me because I also like my visor is fogging up.
Oh yeah, because you're like you're a chronic sweater? Is that where is that the version like snowmobiling, like all your stuff gets fogged up just because you put out so much heat?
Yeah.
Oh my God, I feel bad for you, man. Oh,
well, and plus my body weight, you know, it slows it down.
Not anymore. Yeah. You don't have that excuse anymore. You're
still heavier than most folks. Yeah.
Yeah, you're like in the 240s now, man. Like it's you got no excuses for the weight. Like Sam,
I'm basically I look like Matthew McConaughey in
Dallas Buyers Club.
Dallas Buyers Club. Yeah. I almost said North Dallas 40.
Yeah.
That was not Matthew McConaughey.
Definitely not Matthew McConaughey.
I probably do look okay if we're going to compare to I look a lot more like Nick Nolte than Matthew McConaughey.
Yeah. So 2 packs.
I guess that might be a better comparison.
2 packs a day for a few months and you're the spitting image, kid, of Nick
Seth,
Nolte.
Seth, your choice of Matthew McConaughey comparisons was wrong as soon as you said Matthew McConaughey.
Oh my God.
Regardless of which movie he's in. Yes.
Someone's saying that you need a 6'10 Texans legend HEB commercial with you baking quiche and wearing an apron with oven mitts, serving
it to
all.
Other people do real work outside, yeah.
They say serving it to all the 6'10 guys. I think you should be serving it to Will and CJ in the next HEB commercial. That would be great. Mm-hmm. That would be great. Sesh, just make them all play him in football. That's the suggestion that you've got right there. Like, so if you're feeling less manly, just line up. You know,
I should do that every now and then. Yeah, just beat up
Fred,
one of my brothers-in-law just for the hell of it.
No, go father-in-law, go big or go home. Fred, line up, 3-point stance. Let's go.
I wonder if I'm thinking about on both sides of our family if my brother and I are the biggest disappointments when it comes to actual manliness, because I come from we got. On my side, we're all it's dairy farmers and all the men in my family, Sean.
Yeah.
They've got their hands, because they've worked manual labor their entire lives, and their hands are like their fingers are just they're so thick, and I go to shake any of my great uncle's hands or something, and it's everything I can do to try to keep up.
Yeah,
they could crush me with their hands, and then on my wife's side, they're all my brother-in-law, the one is a mason, the other's a golf course superintendent, but like not at a fancy club, he's working on machinery, he still has to do a lot of the work and everything. Then my father-in-law is just an old school farmer, and my brother and I are these like little floofy just white collar jobs. It's kind of embarrassing.
Yeah, but you never need a handyman. You never, ever, ever need a handyman. You've got people that can do everything for you.
Right. Yeah, and they love it when you ask them to come over.
For sure, I can tell.
10 p.m. to help me fix my stuff. Yeah.
713-572-4610. We've had a few people ask this. I'm just picking this one off from today. Hey, guys, why is John Metchie not getting as much run as Xavier Hutchinson? And I think the answer is a pretty simple one. Xavier Hutchinson's better at football right now.
He's just better right now. I think when we saw that during training camp, Xavier Hutchinson was just more consistently reliable than John Metchie. I think they still see a lot of upside with John Metchie, but he's in some ways, I still look at John Metchie as a quasi-rookie because remember he had that little thing that he was battling? The cancer?
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah. And that last year he was still limited by that, having come out of recovery. That I still look at this year as the first year where he's really been himself physically,
mm-hmm.
and he's getting integrated into the offense. So he might end up being a big factor by the end of the season. It's just that they feel they can rely on Xavier Hutchinson more right now.
Robert Woods, for sure. Robert Woods was out again yesterday, so Robert Woods is out. Nico's on IR. Like John Metchie's going to get. I don't know what his snap count was against the Patriots and for the rest of the Buffalo game, or if he was even suited up for the Buffalo game, I don't remember. But John Metchie's going to get 20 or 25 snaps in this game on Sunday.
Yeah, and I think the biggest thing with Metchie is if you think about where the opportunities and the targets are in this offense, it's when they're the secondary guy. They're the guy that is going to catch stuff underneath when defensive backfields are focused on Stephon Diggs and Tank Dell. And what do you want most there is a guy that's got good hands.
Yeah.
And it's just Mechie's had drop issues. He was dropping a lot. He was dropping a lot of passes in practice and in the games and training camp. So they trust Xavier Hutchinson in those spots more.
Yep.
At least so far.
Yep. Let's skip down to CJ here, CJ Stroud, and the impact the veterans have had on him. They imported Stephon Diggs and Joe Mixon onto this team this year, and it's been big for CJ Stroud. Here's how.
Yeah, honestly, like last year, you know, it was super cool for me, and you know, I'm not trying to harp on, you know, past things, but for me, it was just dope that, you know, I was able to play well so young, you know, and so just like fresh and really didn't know much about NFL life on the field or off. So just a lot of learning about that. But honestly, I would say when I got, when Steph and Joe came here, they were just like, man, like you got it, bro. Like you have what it takes. Cause I mean, we've been around it, you know, these past couple of years being around Burrow and Josh Allen. So, you know, and they're not comparing me to those guys, I don't think, but you know, they're just telling me like I have that aura, I have that way I carry myself, you know. And so I thought that was pretty cool because I never really heard that before, especially with two guys who've been around some really successful quarterbacks. So I thought that was pretty cool.
The coolest thing about CJ for this year has been really starting with when the Rams were here during training camp. And CJ was just genuinely, I guess, flattered, but almost kind of he was treating it as like a surreal experience that Matt Stafford was A, nice to him, and B, knew who he was.
Yep.
Like that was a guy that CJ had watched a lot. He's said all kinds of great things about Matt Stafford and how underappreciated he is and everything. And then it felt like, oh yeah, it's like some movie where a young guitar player gets acknowledged by his guitar hero or something.
Yeah,
you know, it's been really cool that he's still got that humility to him. It's like, I think it's a genuine humility. And it's one of the things that, yeah, you can never plan this to work out this way, but the guys that weren't the chosen ones right from the get-go, and Tom Brady was this way. I think there's always a chip on their shoulder, mm-hmm. but B, a humility to where they understand how hard it is and how hard you have to work to really break through. And with a guy like Bryce Young, for instance, it's not like he's lazy or anything, but he's never been forced into a position of being hungry like that. And it's for a guy that's so undersized, and it would be easy to say, like, yeah, he just fought off all the haters and everything. Nah, from the time he was in high school, he was kind of treated like the chosen one.
Yeah.
And that can work against the guy sometimes.
Well, and sometimes, too, like with CJ, you never plan for this to be the way you become great, but it's thrust upon you. Like, Bryce Young grew up in a house where, you know, both his parents were there. His dad is, was his dad a sports psychologist, Seth? Am I mistaken?
He's a psychologist, not a sports psychologist.
But a psychologist. But he's a resource for Bryce. You know, CJ had it rough. His dad went to prison. His dad's still in prison. His mom got a job at a storage unit and had an apartment. They had an apartment that housed the whole family at the storage unit there. Like, and CJ's become better for all that stuff. Like, all that adversity has shaped him into who he is. But you don't, obviously, you don't wish that on anybody. You know what I mean?
Right, like, right. Yeah, it's not like you're going to tell your kids, like, yeah.
Yeah, like, so but when you bring up Bryce, I'm like, part of me is like, well, it's not Bryce's fault. He grew up in a house where it was all good all the time. You know what I mean?
Right.
You know, like, it's just, but a lot of kids get thrust the same adversity CJ Stroud has, and they go the wrong way. Like, that CJ is who he is through that is really commendable, I think.
Right, right. Yeah, and I don't, like, even aside from what your household upbringing was or anything, I think just on the football side of things, there's a certain hunger that you're not going to get necessarily if you've always been the chosen one. And or at least with some guys, you know, somebody like Peyton Manning was the chosen one from the get-go, but he was just so psychotically driven that he was going to be just fine. But like a guy like J.J. Watt, you know, that had to kind of just had to transfer to Wisconsin and basically
walk
prove
on
himself. Yeah, he had to walk on at Wisconsin. And then wasn't, you know, he was a first-round draft pick, but a criticized first-round draft pick, and people didn't look at him as a pass rusher.
Yep.
So there's always a little bit of a chip on your shoulder and a natural hunger that's hard to just create.
Yep. No question. All right. CJ was asked yesterday. Cody Stutes asked this question. I thought it was good. I was glad he asked it because Dalton Schultz is catching a lot of heat right now. Does this cut from CJ Stroud on what Dalton Schultz brings to the offense and to him in particular, to CJ in particular, make you feel better, you the audience, and you Seth, I guess, too? Does it make you feel better about Dalton Schultz?
Yeah, I would say, man, he's like a coach on the field. Like, he helps me a ton with the run game. And, you know, he's intelligent. I can see him being like an OC one day. Or, you know, he's so smart. So, you know, he's helping out Cade. He's helping out Joe. He's helping out, you know, the guys up front, making sure we're ID'd right. And, you know, he takes on a lot of responsibility that he doesn't really have to, but he does it. And he puts in the extra hours, you know. So, I tip my hat off to Dalton and be able to just do that. So, you know, it's a long season, man. Like, I know that, you know, we'll start connecting more. And I know that, you know, we'll start, you know, really just feeding off with each other. And, you know, our chemistry is really high. So we just got to get back to that and, you know, just go out there and have more fun.
I've seen a couple of recommendations to start Schultz this week in fantasy. And both of them were framed something like this. This might be the last weekend you consider starting Schultz if he doesn't pick get his acting gear.
Yeah.
Because the Packers have been... One of their weaknesses as a defense has been against tight ends. Mm. So the Packers they've allowed the fifth most yards to opposing tight ends. They're tied with the most receptions allowed to the position. And meanwhile, Schultz, like last week without Nico Collins, was targeted a bunch. He was targeted eight times but only caught four of them, but it was only for 27 yards. You know, in the Buffalo game, Schultz ended up with 9 targets after Nico Collins left the game early on. So he's probably going to get targeted a lot. He should have opportunities versus this defense. And yeah, I appreciate that he's a veteran guy that understands the offense, but man, he's just not the same guy so far this year.
Nope.
And he got off to a slow start last year. I think he's being used in pass protection a lot. And even if he goes out on a route, he's starting off in the backfield. So that slows some things down. But, man, when you are targeted, let's see you do more with it. And this might be the week that maybe things click for him. Just like last year it took a few weeks. But we're burning daylight here, Sean.
We're burning daylight. No, by this time last year, Schultz had started to get into a flow. It was the first four games. But the Atlanta game was week 5, and that was the one where Schultz caught what – would have been the game-winning touchdown if the defense could have held Atlanta off the scoreboard at the end of the game. So, yeah, burning daylight is a perfect way to put it. That's what we're doing here with Dalton Schultz. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you. Talking head power rankings. Two of the biggest voices in sports have the Texans on the radar among the best teams in the NFL. How good are they? How good is their opponent this weekend? That is coming up next.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, 3-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.